And I'll be reading verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, help us to look to your word tonight, that we see through this familiar passage something amazing, that you sent your son, you sent God himself to be with us, to come as a child who would later be a savior. Lord, help us to honor you this evening with our thoughts, our words, our actions, as we submit to you as the one who has given us life. Amen. Well, for our sermons during this Advent season, we have been examining some of the people from different passages that deal with Jesus' birth and his early life. We looked at a prophet named Simeon. We looked at a priest named Zechariah, a king, Herod the Great, and we also looked at shepherds. We considered how these individuals pointed to Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled each of their roles. Now, tonight's message will be slightly different. Jesus came into this world as a prophet, priest, king, and shepherd. But if these things are all that he is to us, then we are still without hope. Now, there is a certain role that only Jesus can fulfill faithfully. Now, other people may prove or may have proven to be God-honoring prophets, priests, kings, and shepherds. But only Jesus can be a true and just Savior. Anyone else who claims to be a Savior is either self-deceived or, even worse, that person is a wicked liar. We also examine the life of Jesus' human father, Joseph. And even though Joseph was a good man, he could never be, and he never claimed to be a Savior. But when we realize that Jesus is the one who came to be our Savior, we do understand that we have hope this day. Now, all throughout the Bible, we can see that God uses all types of people for his purposes. People of different ages, backgrounds, different nationalities, authority status, rich, poor, male or female. If we look just before our passage, we see the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of Matthew, and we see a list of people who were used by God in one way or another. Many of the men on that list were kings, some of them good, such as David and Josiah. Most of them were wicked, such as Ahaz and Manasseh. There are other faithful men of God on this list as well. We see Abraham and Boaz, and even some scandalous women, such as Tamar and Rahab. But here in Matthew 1:18, we are introduced to the two individuals who were chosen by God to be the parents of Jesus. In Luke 1:30, the angel proclaimed that Mary was a young woman who had found favor with God. And in this passage, we meet her husband, who Matthew calls a just man. And God would not use just any couple to raise his son, but he would use this man and this woman who were walking in obedience to him. Now, up to this point, Joseph had shown himself to be a faithful Jew. He went about his marriage in an upright manner. He and Mary were betrothed. That is, they were pledged to be married. They had made a covenant to remain chaste to one another until the marriage ceremony. Joseph took this vow seriously, as he would stay pure until he was to take Mary as his wife. But something happened that greatly troubled Joseph. Mary told him that she was pregnant and that an angel had said that this pregnancy was not from another man, but this pregnancy was from God. Well, what could Joseph do? He couldn't believe that this would happen to him. Everyone would now look at Mary as an adulteress. You see, a Jewish betrothal was just as binding as an official marriage. If Joseph wanted to separate from Mary, he would have to go through a divorce. Joseph determined that he would remain faithful to the law. How could he marry a woman who would bear a child that was not his own? But Joseph still loved Mary, and he felt pity for her. He decided he would not disgrace her publicly, but that he would divorce her quietly. Now, here's where our story turns from an ordinary and yet difficult situation to that of the miraculous. Matthew clearly wants to hammer home the miracle of Jesus' birth in this passage. Now, the first miracle we look at is the message which came from an angel. Now, during the time that Joseph was considering how to quietly separate from Mary, he was greeted by an angel in a dream. We are later told that an angel would warn Joseph to flee from King Herod, and just as the Magi were warned through a dream. Luke's gospel also tells us that Mary and the shepherds were told of this Christ child who would be born. They were told this by an angel. Likewise, the angel Gabriel spoke to Zechariah about his son who would one day prepare the people for the Lord. They would prepare the people for this child, Jesus. So though these visits from angels seem to be frequent in Jesus' birth accounts, this was still an extremely rare occurrence. So Matthew is clearly showing that this message was nothing less than divine. This was a message from heaven. Now, the second miracle we see here is that of the virgin birth. Joseph knew that Mary was pregnant, and she had told him that this was not man's doing, this was from God the Holy Spirit. And now the angel tells Joseph the same thing. He says, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So this child did not come from a man. This was not also an early form of IVF, but this was from God. The Holy Spirit, you see, creates life. God's Spirit was there at the beginning of creation. In Genesis 1, we see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit was there at creation. We also know from John 3 that the Holy Spirit brings new life spiritually into every believer. Just as we see, this same Holy Spirit brings new life. He brought new life physically to Jesus. So just as God had formed Adam, gave him life in the beginning, God would now form a physical body, a body of flesh, a dwelling place for his son. Now thirdly, Matthew focuses on divine intervention through fulfilled prophecy. Now, verse 23 is a prophecy that comes from Isaiah 7. Again, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Matthew's gospel is written primarily to a Jewish audience, as he frequently pointed to Old Testament prophecies that found their fulfillment in Jesus as the Messiah. And this verse was part of a particular prophecy that came from Isaiah to King Ahaz. And it was partially fulfilled in Ahaz's day. But Matthew shows us here these words pointed to a fuller and more miraculous event that was now coming to fruition through the Son, that is Jesus, who was born of the Virgin, his mother Mary. And God's name for this mysterious child, Emmanuel, now makes perfect sense. Matthew tells us Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus literally is Emmanuel. He is the only one who can truly be God with us. Now, these signs and miracles are definitely amazing, but we must not miss the big picture here. Yes, this child is Emmanuel. He is God with us. But what does that really mean? Is God with us so that he can punish us or teach us a lesson? Well, this child's true purpose is found in his given name. This angel told Joseph to name his son Jesus. Why is that? Well, the angel says, "For he will save his people from their sins." Jewish names were often given for a particular reason. Their names had meaning. They spoke of perhaps something that was happening with the parents at that time, or with the society at large, or perhaps an event that was related to the child's birth. Here we see Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation or simply Savior. If you remember from the Old Testament, Joshua was Israel's leader who brought the people of Israel up out of the wilderness. They had been wandering the desert for 40 years because of their unfaithfulness to God. But finally, Joshua brought this people up to Canaan, to God's promised land. And then we see Jesus, a later and greater Joshua, who would soon bring his people from a spiritual desert, a desert of sin, to a place of rest in him. Now, as the angel told Joseph, Jesus would save his people from their sins. He brings eternal security to God's people. Because of Jesus, we can have true life right now in this world, and we can also have eternal life in God's heavenly promised land and heaven itself. Now, when Joseph awoke from his dream, he knew that everything was going to be different now. Though he couldn't logically explain his actions to other people, Joseph trusted that this was God's will for him. No matter what would happen to him, whether or not he would be rejected or hated by his friends, by his family members, or the religious authorities, Joseph would trust that this was God's word. And Joseph continued in his obedience to God. Matthew says that he did what the angel commanded him to do. He chose to take Mary as his wife. He fulfilled his covenant to her. He consummated the marriage at the appropriate time. He continued to be faithful to God all his life. And here we see he obeyed God by naming his son Jesus, trusting that this child would be the Messiah, that he would be the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And just as Matthew tells us in this passage, Joseph was indeed a good and just man, but still he was only a man. Though he was godly, he was not God. But Joseph was faithful in raising Jesus, who is our Savior. This was Joseph's calling. Now, this passage from Matthew makes it quite clear that Jesus, not Joseph, is the focus here. Jesus was clearly no ordinary person. Now, the prophecy about the Messiah from Isaiah 53 tells us that God's chosen servant would have no form, no majesty, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So Jesus would not be impressive in his physical stature or appearance. But we should not consider the things that are generally exalted by men. In his spiritual nature, Jesus was and still is God. He is the fulfillment of prophecy, and he is the Savior of the world. Now, as we close, I want you to listen to these words about Jesus from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. My friends, this is the one that we worship. And so I ask you this question tonight. Are you like Joseph? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that Jesus is your Savior? He is our only hope. He is the one who paid the debt for you that your sins deserve. He suffered and died for you so that you may have eternal life. We remember the words from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Do you believe this? Do you trust in him? There is no other way, no other path to eternity. Jesus is our prophet. He is our king. He is our priest. He is our good shepherd. But let us not forget why he came to us, what his purpose here was. He is our Savior. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Let us pray. Father, help us to honor you this evening. It's just amazing that you would send your Son to come to this world in such a humble manner, to such a lowly place, that he was looked at with contempt by many. Many wanted to kill him, to get rid of him. They didn't want this so-called Messiah. They were content with their own lives. God, help us not to be like that. Help us not to be content with how things are just the way they are, but Lord, help us to look to you, knowing that you bring eternal life, not because of anything that we bring, not because we are good in ourselves, but because you are gracious and you love us. So help us remember why we celebrate Christmas, why you came to this world. You came to be the Savior of the world, that we may have life in you, because apart from you, we have no hope. So this night, we do have joy. There is hope, knowing you as Savior, believing that you came to live and die for us. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, bring us close to you that we may grow closer to you each day, celebrating you as our Savior. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.